Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
If your marriage is in trouble, you have a lot of decisions to make. And if you really want to save a troubled marriage, you've got some steps that you'll need to go through to get there. There are all kinds of people on the internet that you can send $50 to, $100 to, etc., who will tell you, if you just follow my magic formula, everything's going to work out just like you want it to. Unfortunately, a lot of those people just teach you how to manipulate. And in the process, they actually manipulate you. Is there a formula? Is there a process? Can you find a pattern that if a person wants to save a marriage, that can be followed and really can work? Absolutely. Hi, I'm Dr. Joe Beam with MH International. You may know us as Marriage Helper. I'm here with Kimberly Holmes, our CEO, and we are in a relationship radio broadcast here. And what we want to talk about is, what's the first thing you do if you really want to save your marriage? And Kimberly, it may sound ridiculous, but the first thing to do actually has to do just with what's inside your own head. Mm-hmm. Would you agree or disagree?
Yes, that's right. It is not necessarily the first step to take to saving your marriage. It's a decision you need to make before you even get to taking the first step to saving your marriage. Much like if someone's trying to lose weight, first they need to make the decision to do it and commit to it, and understand everything they're committing to before actually taking the first step. Otherwise, it may not be a fruitful endeavor that they enter into because they waver back and forth. They don't actually do the things that they need to do. And so they don't get the results that they wish to seek if you don't make the decision and commit to it on the front end.
Well, since we're talking about losing weight as an example, I figure that over the lifetime that I have lived, I've lost somewhere nearly 1 million pounds.
Guinness Book of World Records, right there.
But in the process, I always wind up giving up because something's not working exactly the way I think it was going to work. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I'd be fuller, but mm-hmm. I'm winding up being hungry all the time. Or I thought the weight would drop faster, and that's not happening. Or, mm-hmm. as you know, my wife, your mother, has made another cake, but it's a healthy cake.
Oh. Last week, she called me and said, I'm making your dad a pie. And I said, he's trying to lose weight. And she said, no, it's strawberry rhubarb. It doesn't really count. No, it's still a pie. You can't do this. But yes, it's just like that. But also in that, when people with weight loss, as an example, they tend to start maybe with one plan, but then because they're not getting the results, they add in things from other plans. And then they end up not knowing quite what to do next. They've muddied the waters and then they just give up altogether. All of that is true in what we're talking about in saving a marriage as well. We have a process that we teach and that we follow, which we'll uncover in a future episode. But that process, when you follow it, we know it works. But if you start adding other people's stuff into it that you hear and think, well, I'll just also add in this thing of no contact and also add in these 6 text messages that are supposed to bring them back, it muddies the waters where you're not going to get any results.
Right. So we would say, if you believe that you want to stand for your marriage, that you want to do what it takes to somehow put it back together, you have to make a decision. But not just off the cuff, like, okay, I want to save this marriage. It needs to be a well thought out decision because we can guarantee you it's not going to be an easy task. It's not something you just make happen immediately and you take a pill and the next day you wake up and everything's fine. It will be a process. And in that process, there are going to be frustrations because sometimes you will fail to use the process and you'll get angry at yourself. Like, why did I do that? That was not the smart thing to do. Or you'll get frustrated with your spouse because of the fact that you'll see him or her take 3 steps forward and then 2 steps back and 1 to the left. And you'll be going, good grief, I thought we were getting somewhere. Now it's going the other way. And because it will be that frustrating at times, because it's never going to be this perfect, easy highway you're going to just cruise down, then you really need to think this decision through. Because it needs to be a decision based on logic and emotion, and if you're a spiritual person, even based on your own spirituality, so that when it doesn't go exactly like you think it will, or when it gets frustrating, that you don't just give up. In other words, a decision that you commit to. So Kimberly, before we talk about how to make that decision, let's talk a little bit more about some of the conflicts or some of the things that can actually throw a person off the path once they get started.
After they make the decision or before they're, as they're trying to make the decision?
Well, no, unless they've already made a decision. And okay. So then we shared with them the seven steps. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as they get into that, what kind of things can derail them?
Yeah. So one of the things is going to be opinions of other people. So opinions of family and friends, opinions of other people they may be listening to on the internet that get them confused. So one of the things that we see and hear often is, well, my parents said I should just kick him to the curb, or my best friend said that I shouldn't live with something like this and I could be happier doing something else. Or sometimes it's the therapist or counselor or pastor that says, you know, maybe biblically you have grounds for divorce, so maybe that's the path that you should take. So there's going to be a lot of opinions from other people that might muddy your commitment to taking the path of saving the marriage, as one of the examples of what they might run into.
And they can be good people. You know, we are friends with the people from Duck Dynasty, the Robertsons. And when Alan's wife, and this is all public knowledge, we're not sharing any secret behind the scene things here. When she was unfaithful to him several years ago, Phil is Alan's dad and a really good man. Now, he's kind of a harsh man sometimes, although he's a very loving man at the same time, but he can be kind of black and white. This is what needs to happen. And Phil was the one telling him, well, she's been unfaithful to you. You need to divorce her. Just get it over with and move on. Mm-hmm. And Phil's a good man and actually a very loving man, but it was not the right advice.
Yeah.
And Alan was able to work it out with his beautiful bride. They're doing so well today and helping a lot of other marriages. And so there will be people that you would think would be on your side, or you hope that they'll be on your side, who will actually be trying to talk you out of trying to save this marriage. So that's one reason. And then what kind of frustrations? I mentioned, alluded to it just a little bit about the three steps forward, two steps back. Can you think of an example that goes with that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So the reaction that you get back from your spouse, if your spouse, and again, this can differ and will differ based on a person's situation. If your spouse has moved out, for example, then you might be wanting them to move back in as soon as possible. And if that doesn't happen quickly, you could get off track. Or if they aren't responding to your emails or calls or text messages, talking to you as much as you wish, then that could derail you. Or if you're still living in the same house, but your spouse isn't making moves back towards you, whatever in your mind you have is that expectation, then all of those things are really based on, is my spouse reacting to me the way that I'm expecting them to as quickly as I want them to? They're not going to do it as quickly as you want them to. We can go ahead and tell you that. But the expectations that you have set of their reaction also may not be realistic based on the situation that's happened in your marriage.
And even then, inside of you, there's going to be some vacillation. Because on some days, you're going to be very strong. I'm going to do everything it takes. We're going to make it. We're going to get there. And then some days, you're going to be thinking, why in the world am I doing this? It's hurts. I've been rejected. I've been abandoned, perhaps, whatever it might be. And there'll be times. I was just reading on one of our, I guess it was one of our newsletters I was glancing at, where somebody had written us saying that very thing, that sometimes I just get so discouraged thinking, why am I doing this? And then I go back, he's part of our membership, and I go back and listen to some of the things in the membership section and get renewed all over again. So you can get physically exhausted. You can get mentally, emotionally exhausted. You can get spiritually exhausted. So, Kimberly, now that we've tried to talk them out of it, why should a person make that decision?
Well, I don't know that we've tried to talk them out as much as giving you the reality of what you're going to face so that you can be better prepared to handle it when it comes.
Correct.
Right? That's the thing. Our anxiety spikes when we don't know what to expect. When we can plan for what to expect and prepare for it, we tend to be able to handle it better. So then Why face all of those things, do all of it? Well, we believe at Marriage Helper, it's because every marriage deserves the chance to be saved. And because for you personally, fighting for your marriage and doing all of these things that we teach in this 7-step process, which we'll outline in the next episode of Relationship Radio. But when you do those things, you become a stronger person. You give your marriage the absolute best shot of actually being reconciled and better than it was before. You set your children up for success. I mean, there's so many areas of your life that your marriage and the strength of it touches that it is incredibly important. If you are willing to do the work, it is incredibly important to do everything you can to try and save the marriage, not just for you and your spouse, although that's clearly a benefit, but literally for generations to come in your legacy, it will have an impact.
And so I often will tell people, before this particular thing happened, the situation that you're in right now, did you perceive your spouse as being a good person or a bad person? Because good people can do some really crappy stuff. They really can. And if you think your spouse is a good person, but right now doing something that's not good, if he or she really is a good person, then that good person is worth rescuing. Now, when I ask that question sometimes, is your spouse a good person doing a bad thing or a bad person doing a bad thing? People will say, I don't know right now. Okay. Then don't try to judge it based on what they're doing right now. Base it on the judgment you have of who they were before this particular thing started happening. And if that good person's in there, then I would suggest you even write some things down. This is the good that I have seen in my spouse. This is who he or she really is. So it's going to matter what you believe about them. And then what you might believe about your own beliefs and values about what's the right thing to do. Because every one of us, everybody, has a story, at least one. As a matter of fact, probably a bunch of stories about how we, on occasion, even though our emotions were telling us to do something differently, we did what we believed to be the right thing. And then ultimately what happened is that great good came from the fact that we did the right thing. But again, it was when we wanted to do something differently. And so look at your beliefs and values and say, what do they tell me I should do? Should I fight for this? Should I try to salvage this? And if you consider marriage to be something that's special, unique, if you made a vow somewhere along the line that you'll be together until you both shall, as long as you live, those kinds of things. So you're looking at the other person, but you're also looking inside of you. And Kimberly, before we wrap this up, let's talk a little bit more about the legacy that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What should people be thinking about when it comes to a legacy? Now, we don't want to give the impression that if your marriage doesn't come back together, that your legacy is doomed. That's not what we're trying to say at all. What we're trying to say is this: what kind of better legacy, more what you really want to occur, can happen if indeed you can do the things that will lead your spouse to come back, that will lead your spouse to put this marriage back together, make a good marriage again. So talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah. These are some of my favorite stories that we see of clients where they end up separating, sometimes even divorcing, and then they have kids involved in it. And one of the most touching stories that I know of a previous client, their names are Jordan and Priscilla, and they had a gaggle of children.
A lot of kids.
When Priscilla fell in love with someone else and ended up leaving not just her husband, but left her children, which is very unusual for a woman, but she was that much in love with someone else. And her children would, especially her son during that time, would be the one praying, please bring my parents back together. But ultimately, she and her husband divorced. She ended up getting pregnant with the other man's child. And Jordan, her husband, who was the standing spouse, the one wanting to save his marriage, was trying to do all of the right things. But at that point, he didn't know what else to do. So he continued to be a dad. He continued to be there for Priscilla in the way that it would be, you know, once you're divorced. But when she found out she was pregnant, she gave Jordan a call and she said, I just wanted you to know so you didn't hear it from someone else. I'm pregnant. And he didn't know what to say. So he said, congratulations.
Which is probably not what he was feeling.
Not at all what he was feeling. But he had learned the Marriage Helper material. And she said, do you want to hear the facts or do you want to hear my heart? Because at this point, Priscilla had realized all these decisions she had made did not lead to the life that she thought she was going to have. And she regretted making these decisions. And so Jordan said, I want to hear your heart. And that was the beginning of them not only reconciling, but remarrying. And when their baby girl was born, I believe this is the sixth child. When the sixth child was born, it was Jordan's name going on the birth certificate. Here's what's amazing, more amazing about that story. It's amazing as it is, but her children to this day, as teenagers, will go to school or talk to their friends at school and say, my parents were divorced and now are remarried. Look at the amazing thing that happened. Mm. So those kids, when they get married, how do you think they're going to handle relationship issues? They saw their parents work through it and make it work. Mm-hmm. They're going to have stronger marriages. They're going to endure the harder times because they saw two people who taught them how to do that. And Jordan and Priscilla is an amazing story that shows that, but it's just one example of thousands of stories that we've seen at Marriage Helper where that's the exact thing that happens. So that's how it can leave a legacy change for your future. But also, like you said before, you know, for the people who say, but I did do all the right things and we still divorced and they ended up with someone else. And here's what I would want to say to those people. Because you did the process, because you did the right things, your kids saw that. And they can take that into their future relationships as well.
Absolutely. And so when you think about the future, it's not just your future. Interestingly, it's not just the future of your children, even of your grandchildren. The legacy that you leave, the example that you leave. So, for example, if you know anything about our story, Alice and I divorced Alice back many years ago. We were able to put it back together. We have children, including Kimberly. Kimberly is a child of the second marriage. When Alice and I remarried each other, we wanted another child, and Kimberly is that child. And so I'm thinking, if the world stands another 100 years, and it may stand a lot longer than that, if it stands another 100 years, that because of Alice's standing for our marriage and us putting that back together, there'll be people still being affected 100 years from now. And what wonderful legacy to leave. No, it doesn't make me perfect. Doesn't make me a hero. It doesn't make my wife a hero. It really does. But it's like, don't just think about now. Don't just think about your children and grandchildren. You can have an impact on the world all the way down the line. And so we recommend that you stand. Now, Kimberly, we referred to these seven steps. People may be scratching their heads saying, wait a minute, we've heard about your four steps of the love path. Now you're mentioning seven. So what if we start talking about those in the next podcast of Relationship Radio?
Yes, let's do it. They're brand new, hot off the press, releasing them here to the public for the first time next week.
So we'll start with that with the very next episode. We'll see you then on Relationship Radio.